Hi there. It's Cruiser and Crew at News Talk 590 WVLK. Trey Watson, the aforementioned communications director of the Republican Party of Kentucky, joins us now. Good afternoon, Trey.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I guess you were disappointed last night, particularly the governor's race in Virginia and the big Democratic wins in the state legislature in Virginia.
Yeah, you know, I felt like we had a really good shot at the governorship, especially last night. I think Ed Gillespie ran a great race. But you know, these off-year elections in Virginia, I grew up in Richmond. I can attest to it. They can produce weird results sometimes. And this is, I think, the fifth governor's election in a row where the opposite party of the president won the governorship.
Yeah, and it is something rare. Now, we didn't see it in New Jersey, and we don't see it often with the president's race, but where the same party, I guess there are states that are solidly blue or solidly red where this takes place regularly, but normally you wouldn't have three straight terms of somebody serving as president and I would think governor from the same party in swing states. Like, and Virginia tends to be kind of a swing state, although I don't know, perhaps it's growing bluer.
Well, I think there's been a population explosion in Northern Virginia, and largely it's a more liberal voting base that's moving up there. So I think it's forcing it definitely into the purple category, potentially in the blue category. But you know, Virginia is also a weird state where governors can only serve one term. So that kind of throws everything up in the air every 4 years as well.
But aren't there some real warning signs from what came out of Virginia last night, particularly in the suburbs, where white college-educated voters that could be counted on to be reliably Republican just can't stomach Donald Trump? And in the exit polls, half of Virginia voters, half said that Trump was the reason for their vote, with twice as many saying they were voting to oppose Trump as to support him. And isn't this what the Democrats are counting on in 2018, and that this Virginia governor's race was a litmus test for, can you run largely against President Trump and be successful? And it appears that in Virginia, you can. Do you believe
that?
Do you buy that?
I think what I'd say first is every 4 years, whatever party won the governor's race in Virginia attempts to read a whole lot into it about what it might mean for what they have possible to achieve the next year, and it very rarely does that info turn out to be useful, because you know we're 12 months to the next election, and in politics that's a lifetime. You know, I think there's certainly some info that can be gleaned. I think a lot of it honestly has to do with if President Trump and the Republicans in Congress were you know, getting more things through,
yeah.
if we'd repealed Obamacare, if the tax reform package was maybe a little bit closer to completion, you know, I think you might have seen a slightly different result. I think there's some frustration out there among people who are more likely to vote Republican that more is not getting done in Congress. I don't think that's the fault of Congress. I don't think it's the fault necessarily of the president. It's just, you know, there's a lot of moving parts up there right now, and we have a majority in the Senate, but you need 60 votes to function there, and so that makes life difficult for Senator McConnell and his caucus.
Yeah, but here's another problem. I think where even if you have plurality about the viewpoints or the positions that Donald Trump would take, he often gets in the way of his own message. And I have talked about the chaos factor here, and I just wonder if that's wearing down Republicans primarily that might be inclined to vote to support the president of their party, although, I don't know, is Donald Trump really a Republican? I mean, he ran as a Republican, but he's not been a lifelong Republican, and I think there's a lot of Republicans that don't identify Donald Trump as his own. It's a tough situation where if you run with Trump, you turn off independents, and if you run against him, you turn off his voters, his base.
You know, I think what you saw last night, though, in Virginia, you know, Ed Gillespie got more votes, raw votes, than Ken Cuccinelli received in 2013, and Ken only lost by, I think, 1.5%. You know, where you saw the big difference is the liberal, extremely liberal, the furthest to the left wing voter base are extremely motivated, extremely fired up. Across Northern Virginia, you saw anywhere from 7 to 10% increase in turnout over 2013. That's where the win moved from a win to a rout, was Not that Republicans didn't vote. Not that Republicans stayed home. You know, not that they didn't vote for the Republican candidate. It's the liberal voter base was much more motivated. They turned out in much greater numbers. And what I'll say for 2018 is 12 months is a long time to sustain that level of enthusiasm.
Yeah. Well, so first of all, I think you're right. It's not too late to turn things around for 2018, but certainly the Republicans have got to get some things done in Congress on the tax issue, probably most predominantly, and perhaps even on health care. The economy has to keep growing. If the economy goes in the tank, I know there's been some people talking this week going, you know, what if foreign policy were to be Donald Trump's real success in his first term? Because he's been getting generally good reviews in his Asian trip, and he's behaved himself and so on and so forth. But I still think for Trump, the economy is going to be key. And I think that some of these little petty fights that he sometimes either starts or exacerbates or slights that he can't let go of, I don't think it helps him.
I was reading some polling yesterday that was done, kind of a look at people who voted for Trump a year later, and the majority of the people polled basically said, you know, we don't always like what he tweets, but we don't think that any of his tweeting has endangered a policy proposal, has endangered any part of his platform. So, you know, as far as functional reality, is that true? I'm not sure. But as far as the voters out there, yeah, I think that they just kind of see his tweets, shrug, and move on. I don't think his tweeting itself and some of the kind of fights he picks is necessarily gonna hurt that much when it comes to the ballot box, especially when you talk about the economy, because, you know, at the end of the day, if everybody's doing well financially, mm-hmm. everybody's generally happy, and when people are happy, they want to keep the party that's in power.
Yeah, but I still wonder if there isn't a wearing down of people who just get kind of tired of the chaos, or again, where Trump, like Byron York said in the Washington Examiner, his style clashes with substance, and he referenced a Peter Hart a focus group with 12 people. They had 6 that voted for Hillary, 5 that voted for Trump, and 1 that voted for Jill Stein. And, of course, the Democrats opposed the substance pretty much of Trump's agenda. But most of their complaints were about Trump's style, and you even had complaints about Trump's style among those people that voted for him. So I think somehow they, whether John Kelly, I don't know if Trump can change, but whether they can contain the president a little bit more from overwhelming his message with some of this reality show type performance, which for a guy like me, I have to chuckle. Sometimes I find it entertaining, but I don't know that it necessarily helps him or certainly overwhelms whatever message he's trying to impart.
I'll say this, you know, I think kind of your statement about chaos, you know, the chaos theory, and is that going to overwhelm? I would tend to believe that if anybody's going to be hurt or worn down by that, it's going to be liberal and Democrat voters, because you only have so much outrage in your body. Eventually, you're just going to get exhausted. And like I said, they were definitely excited to turn out and to cast what they viewed as a vote against the president last night. But can you sustain that for 12 months? I don't know that you can.
I invited Brian Gettle to join us too, Trey. Brian is the Jessamine County prosecutor by day, and then he dabbles in a little political commentary from the conservative side on this station and elsewhere. And he's been a frequent guest on this program. Brian, welcome. I'm sure you kept up with the election results last night. What's your take?
Well, I think Trey's pretty much on track here. I mean, you know, Virginia has been trending Democrat, and it's not a real surprise that the Democrat won. I think if I'm a pollster making a living off of doing polls, I'm a little bit more nervous than anybody else, because they were off by a significant margin again. I would also say that if I'm a Republican congressman in a swing district, I'm going to be nervous with last night's results, simply because of what Trey mentioned, the enthusiasm from the liberal voters. I think they can sustain it for a year, especially if Republicans can't get their act together and do something significant in Congress. So I think that's the bigger takeaway, is just that being nervous with the enthusiasm of the liberal voters.
Trey, let me ask you, you're intimately involved with the state Republican Party. Does a night like last night depress candidate recruitment and donor enthusiasm. It's thought on the flip side that this will energize Democrats in terms of candidate recruitment and donor excitement. Does it do the opposite in depressing both on the Republican side?
I don't think so. You know, we're seeing some solid candidates step forward for the seats that are still out there that we haven't picked up yet in Kentucky. And you know, at the end of the day, Kentucky is a very different state. Hillary Clinton won the state of Virginia in 2016. Donald Trump won the state of Kentucky, and all public polling that you've seen, he's still well above 60% approval rating in this state. So, you know, I think that there's still a lot of excitement for the things that he has been able to accomplish. I think you're going to see Senator McConnell last week was able to get through another four judicial nominees. I think they've confirmed either seven or eight this year, and Barack Obama only got three confirmed his first year in office. You know, I think that if we can tag on some wins in health care and tax reform, that we're going to be in great shape here in Kentucky. And, you know, I don't think that last night in Virginia is going to have much of an impact on what we see from the donor base or candidate recruitment here.
Yeah, but, Brian, there's incumbent retirement, too, which those numbers are continuing to climb on the Republican side. I said at the beginning of the program the worst news for Republicans in New Jersey wasn't the fact that they lost the governor's race. That was expected. That was no surprise. But the fact that there were two Republicans, House Republicans, that announced their retirement yesterday, including Frank Lobiondo of New Jersey, which in a blue state like New Jersey, there's a toss-up seat right there that could very well be a Democratic pickup. Could this motivate more Republicans to retire, particularly if they can't get anything done? The floodgates may open on retirements on the Republican side if they can't get the tax thing done, because what Republican wants to go through that kind of hell in facing their constituents and say, hey, vote for me even though we didn't get anything done?
Yeah, I think things got extremely difficult for Republicans when they failed to repeal Obamacare after campaigning on that for I don't know how many years. And now you're looking at the tax situation again. But it's interesting to me, a couple of things. First of all, Doug Schoenfeld, Democratic pollster or Democratic political analyst, said that the centrists won last night. You know, there's a civil war going on in the Democratic Party as well. You've mm-hmm. got the progressives led by Bernie Sanders and the centrists. Well, the winner of the New Jersey governor's race is a former Goldman Sachs executive. The winner in Virginia, that he embraced Sanctuary City, or, you know, said he's going to do away with Sanctuary City. So yeah. You have that centrist idea playing out on the Democratic side, and the centrists seem to be winning in their elections now. If the progressives really get excited about this and start putting in their progressive candidates, for instance, the Virginia governor barely won his primary against a progressive pick. If the progressives start winning their primaries, then things get, I think, a little bit better for Republicans.
Yeah.
But unless Republicans do something major like pass tax reform and also point out how great the economy is doing, the press has done a really good job of focusing on the little stuff and not pointing out how well the Dow Jones is doing, how many jobs are being created, how low we are in terms of unemployment. We have a really good economy going right now. Tax cuts will make that better, but the public really isn't hearing that story. They're hearing about, you know, Trump feeding fish food in Japan being, you know, some sort of political faux pas. So that's what we're getting from the press right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of new paths that we've never gone down before with a president like Trump. There's no precedent for this. In other words, it's going to be interesting to see over time. Let's assume that the Trump presidency is effective, but yet a lot of people don't like his style or are turned off by him. So will voters be able to separate their personal distaste of him from their evaluation of him and the job he's doing as president? I'll just kind of throw that out as a jump ball. I don't know that we know the answer to that, but that's going to be awful interesting to find. Do either one of you guys want to make a definitive call on that?
I mean, here's what I'll say, Dave, and I'll use the example of congressional polling. You know, Congress as a whole polls at like 8% approval rating.
Yeah.
Yet somehow magically all the incumbents get elected.
No, I know.
Because I don't like those guys, but I like my guy.
Yeah.
And you know, so I think, you know, when you come down to it, even Senator McConnell, his personal approval ratings,
yeah,
you know, are not
bad.
Great. However, yeah, when it comes to reelect, I'll say, well, yeah, he's a, you know, he's a bad guy, but he's my bad guy, and he works for me, you know. So there's a difference when you look at polling between obviously personal approval, generic ballot, and reelect numbers. So I think when you get down to it, people are generally still okay with the guy that represents them because he's their guy. Now, you may hate everybody else, but you like your guy. And you know, I think at the end of the day, Donald Trump is not going to affect that many ballots. You know, he may affect some in a few key swing districts that.
Yeah.
That
well, watch the suburbs.
But I mean, you know, yeah. it's a stiff breeze could blow it one way or the other. But in most districts, the majority of districts, both state legislative and congressional, you know, I think people have an understanding that. You know, their representative is not Donald Trump.
Yeah, but you've got some congressional representatives, House members, that represent suburban districts in areas around big cities. Those, again, if Republicans can't stem the losses there of the college-educated suburbanite, they could have some problems. I can't let either one of you guys get away without asking whether or not you believe the sexual harassment investigations on the Republican side of the House in Frankfurt. Is this going to delay, in your view, the special session on pension or the move, the march toward pension reform? Brian, I'll start with you first. Does this handicap the Bevin agenda for now?
One of the insiders that I'm talking to thinks it kills it. Through the general session in 2018, and may put it off until after the elections.
That's 2019.
From one source.
That's 2019 until after what? The next statewide elections. Trey, you agree with that?
I don't know that I agree with that. You know, I know for a fact these guys are still meeting. They're still working on a deal. You know, one of the issues with pension reform is it's complicated. You can't just change a number on an Excel spreadsheet and it pops out a new number at the end. You know, if you have a negotiation and change a number, it may be 5 days before the actuary can figure out the full impact of the change you made. Mm-hmm. So it's just a slow slog. It's a slow process. And, you know, I think that there are members who have concerns that would like to see some things changed in the process of that negotiation. You know, if you negotiate one day, it may be five more days till you can negotiate again because you have to see what the actuary says. So it's an incredibly complex, incredibly slow process to do, and you know I think they're trying to get it done right.
Yeah, and I had one legislator tell me, Brian, the people involved here are scared, and so you're dealing with real people's money and their retirement and their feelings and how it's going to affect them, and it kind of scares them because. For some, there's an unknown or certainly a significant change from what they thought they might be getting. I'll let you have the last word here, Brian, before we wrap up.
It got an awfully bad PR start, unfortunately. We're a couple of weeks away from Thanksgiving, then we go into the Christmas season. I don't think you're going to see a special session this year, and I don't know if they're going to take it up in 2018 or not because of the outcry that's come from the teacher side of it and how they're being impacted.
Yeah, well, they could also make some. We may have to see whether or not the administration's willing to make some tweaks. I mean, they may have to if they just can't take the plan as it's defined right now and get passage in the House. They're going to have to tweak it. Guys, it was great fun talking to you. Trey Watson, the communications director with the Republican Party, and Brian Gettle, the Jessamine County attorney and political commentator. Thanks to both of you for your commentary and your views this afternoon.